This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Flight Training the Way I See It, the January 2025 edition. Happy New Year from your host, Mike Shiflett, and welcome to the program. So what we're going to talk about today are what is happening with Mosaic, and we're going to talk about a special discount on our CFII class coming up in February 2025. You want to hang on for that because we're trying to fill that course. It's got several people in it now, but we'd like to have a complete remote and also in-person class for that. We had a very large class last time, and that worked really well. We're also going to talk about clarification of the qualifications to train initial CFIs. So we got this wrong for quite a while. Now we're getting it right, and we need to really disclose this because this change is not what it appeared to be at first, okay? And then the other topic we're going to talk about is what other industry works like this. How we get it to work is amazing. We're going to talk about the limitations and the frustrations of working within the general aviation environments. And we're renaming our mastery class because it really doesn't fit what it does. It's really teaching with tech. It's about using ForeFlight and Zoom and PowerPoint to teach in person and also remotely. And of course, we'll have three pro tips for you. Okay, let's talk about Mosaic. Mosaic is modernization of a special airworthiness certificate. And the purpose of that was basically to take care of the sport pilot market. They were going to increase the stall speeds up to at least 50-some knots, maybe 60-something, which then allows the airplane's weight to be higher. So we'll be able to fly airplanes with a sport pilot certificate up to about 3,400 pounds if everything goes right. There'll also be night rating or night privileges involved in the rating that's available. And they will not be increasing the number of passengers, so only one still. But the problem with Mosaic is this is scheduled for release this year. But because of the new administration, all regulations being published have to go through some screening before they get approved or not. And so we anticipate there'll be a holdup there of some kind. Now, I don't imagine any pushback from anybody on this rule, Mosaic, because it really benefits the market. I don't know if you know this, but doing anything within the sport pilot regulations after your initial certification, so for example, if you got sport pilot, say airplane single engine land, you have to do that with a DPE or an aviation safety inspector, an ASI. But once you complete that, if you want to add on any other categories or classes, you just need two CFIs to do it. One to do the training and the recommendation, and the second one to do the proficiency check. And once that's done, there's no DPE involved, no ASI, and the endorsement is placed in the logbook, and you have that privilege right away. So we're thinking that we're going to see a lot of people coming out of the rotorcraft programs, like from the Army. They have an RTP program. Now remember that you can't act as pilot in command of an airplane unless you have airplane category and class on your pilot certificate. So if you get a solo endorsement, you can act as PIC and log PIC then, but you can't log it if you don't have an airplane rating when you're in there getting dual instruction because you're not rated in the airplane. That regulation, by the way, is 6151 ECHO. So what we think might happen is when people get out of the Army or come into these RTP programs, they have about 700 hours. They need 1,500 to work for an airline. And, of course, they need airplane ratings. So there's a lot of time building going on. And they can't do this when they're receiving dual instruction in the airplane because they don't have an airplane rating. But once they get proficient and able to pass like equivalent of a private pilot test, in this case sport pilot, what they could do is then get two CFIs, one to do the training, the other to do the proficiency check. And then they have the rating. They would have something that would say something like commercial pilot, rotorcraft, helicopter, and then sport pilot privileges, and then it would have by endorsement in the logbook what that would be. So because the person already tested for one certificate or rating already for the helicopter, rotorcraft, they can use two CFIs. And so this is much more appealing to a rotorcraft pilot who doesn't want to fail a flight test and or doesn't want to pay a DPE for the test. So again, we'll keep you posted on that. We'll see how the regulation comes out, when it comes out. I have no idea how long it's going to take. No one knows. We'll see here in a little bit. Okay, the second topic today is our CFII class. If you wanted to be an instrument instructor for a long time, if you've been waiting for that, or you just want to add it on to a course you're taking now, like one of our courses. We're doing a pop-up. What that means is we didn't announce it until last minute. It adjoins the February 2025 class. So if you look on our calendar, you'll see it's there now. It's the Monday after our CFI class. So people in our CFI class can continue on for 3 more days and get all of the ground required for the CFII. If you're pursuing an instrument rating, this is like an accelerated program for that as well. So you could participate in that. If you want to get your CFII, this of course rings the bell for that, for 3 days. And the class is normally $875. So we've got a $50 coupon for you that will knock $50 off the price of that class. But it's only for our newsletter and podcast subscribers. Well, we'll probably include the Power Hour people as well, because they always get our best discounts. If you don't know about that, go to our website, cfibootcamp.com, on a laptop. If you go on a mobile device, it'll be tricky to find it. But go to Power Hours, or at the top, there's a blue bar, and it has an opt-in for that. And then you'll get an email, which will confirm that you're in the Power Hour group. And you'll get email reminders, 3 per week, one about midweek saying what the topic is. These are one-hour seminars we do on live. We have about between 250 and 500 or so people online during these events. The first hour is me or someone else, guest speaker, talking about a topic. The second hour is open mic. And we're adding a third hour, which we'll talk about a little bit later. So, but when you get on that list, you get an invitation and a link to the Power Hour. They're live. They're Saturdays from noon until 1 Eastern time. That's 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. And as of this podcast, we've done 219 of them. So 5 years of this sort of training that we do every Saturday that's not a holiday. And it's free. So go to our website, cfibootcamp.com. You can go to the top, the blue bar, and you can opt in for the Power Hour. And make sure you do that with a non-mobile device. You can also find it by going to cfibootcamp.com and look at Power Hours on the left-hand side, the very top. And you should be able to get in that way. And the next thing we're going to talk about are the clarification of the qualifications to train initial CFIs. So people are getting this wrong, so I need to clarify it with you. So the regulation we're addressing is 61.195 Hotel. And this is the qualifications to train initial or first-time CFIs. So that regulation changed recently. And it changed for the flight training side of things, but it did not change for the ground training. That's the big rub, okay? So people think that because they meet the new regulation, the lower time requirements, they can do both the ground and the flight, but they cannot. You can only do the flight side with the new regulation. To teach the ground instruction, the aeronautical knowledge still requires the same as it did before. So let me go over that with you. So to train flight side only, you need to have your CFI certificate for 2 years and given 200 hours of dual instruction. That's the first way. The second way you can do it is by recommending at least 5 people for a practical test of any kind, and 80% of those people passed on the first time. That would do it. You can do it, no waiting time. And the third is the FEQIP, which is Flight Instructor Enhanced Qualification Training Program, and that's a course that's done under Part 141 or 142. Currently, I don't believe anybody is certificated to do that yet, but that will come. That includes 25 hours of ground instruction, and 10 hours of airplane time, 5 of which can be in a sim, in a 141 or 142 training environment. And when you graduate from that, you don't have to have the pass rate, and you don't have to have the CFI for 2 years and 200 hours. You can do that right away. But that only addresses the flight side, so let's make sure that's clear. The ground side requires the same as it always has, which is you have to have held an AGI, Advanced Ground Instructor Certificate, or a Flight Instructor Certificate for 2 years. And it's 2 calendar years now. It's to the end of the month in which you got your CFI or AGI. And you have to have given at least 40 hours of ground instruction. The other way to do it is to have taught at least 100 hours in a Part 141 or 142 approved course. So that has no time requirement. But if you've done that, so you've done, for example, ground instruction for private, instrument, commercial, whatever it might be that they have at the 141 school, and you've logged 100 hours of that, you can train initial CFIs. Okay, so hopefully that clears that up. And there's one further caveat here. The FOI test, knowledge test, requires an endorsement now to take. The FIA does not. The Flight Instructor Airplane doesn't, but the FOI does. And that endorsement must be given by an authorized instructor. And those same requirements for the ground exist, except that an AGI, advanced ground instructor, can give this endorsement straight out of the gate, no waiting time. It's just because under the ground instructor regulations, it says they can give a knowledge test endorsement for any certificate or rating under this part. So there's no waiting time involved there. They can't give the instruction towards the aeronautical knowledge for FOI, for private, recreational, or commercial. They can't do that still until they have the time requirement in or they've done 100 hours in the Part 141 school. But they can give the endorsement. Okay, hopefully that was helpful to you. Now let's talk about our industry. What an industry we've got. What other industry works like this? So how we get it to work is amazing. Here's what we kind of settle on. Imagine if UPS said, I got a great idea. Let's go get 1978 delivery vehicles and make a business out of it, a delivery business. That should work, right? It should be reliable. Everything should be cheap. And it'd be all right. It'd be good, right? Imagine if they did that. That's what we do. Okay, because airplanes are so expensive. New airplanes are incredibly expensive. Only certain markets can really do that. So if you're at Embry-Riddle or you're at UND or if you're at the University of Western Michigan, they have these airplanes. And the programs are super expensive, but you can get financing, right? So if you can't get financing, typically you're going to be flying airplanes that are of that vintage. 70s, 80s, maybe you get into a 90s, maybe. And then we've got other things that plague us, right? So the FAA is our regulatory body, and, you know, they're pretty good at it. And I don't have a lot bad to say about the FAA about that part of things. Occasionally they get it wrong, but every organization is going to do that. Every regulatory body is going to get that. It's going to have that happen. But what happened here is not the FAA's fault, but they're part of it. So here's what happens, is that we have all these legacy providers of engines, propellers, magnetos, all this stuff that had to get all that stuff certificated a long time ago when GA was kind of booming. Aircraft are being made a lot, you know, airplanes are going out the door. And so there was an incentive to get this kind of certification so you could make a propeller, you could make a magneto. Now the market is so small that there's no reason for anybody else to get in this space. So the regulation requiring the certification and the certification process to become a magneto provider or a propeller provider or an engine provider are so egregious and so expensive, no one wants to do it. So we're left with whoever's there. And who's there are people like Hartzell Propellers, good company, by the way, MT Propellers, Lycoming Continental, these kind of things, engines, and that's all we got. We don't have anybody else. So if they can't get parts or they don't feel like making something, it's not profitable enough, they just stop, and we can't get anything. So we go to the junkyard, we get stuff from there, we get things from everywhere to get something to work. As an example, we have a Cessna 206, brand new, pretty much. This was a couple years ago, but it was brand new. The owner landed really hard at this airplane on the nose wheel, and it crinkled the firewall. So this airplane was like 3 months old. And so then, of course, they call Cessna and say, hey, can we get a firewall? And Cessna goes, well, we don't have any. Oh, well, when are we going to get one? When we make the next batch of 206s. When's that going to be? In about 6 to 8 months. And we'll put the order in for an extra one for you. So now in the meantime, the owner has to pay the fixed cost, payments, insurance, hangar, you name it, everything there, and doesn't have access to the airplane. If this happened and this was your car, you'd be crazy with it, right? But it's just how it is. We have a similar circumstance going on now in Palo Alto at a club. They have a Duchess. The Duchess had a nose wheel collapse, which then caused the propellers to hit the ground when they were running. And it had sudden stoppage on the engine. So both the engine's props had to come off, right, plus the repair. So they went to a propeller manufacturer, and a particular one, and they ordered the prop. And then they called up 3 months later, and the propeller manufacturer said, oh, it's going to be 3 more months. Okay, so 3 months, now 6 months. They called up again after that 3 months and said, well, it looks like it's going to be another 3 months. 3 months go by. Now we're 9 months in. Then another 3 months, then they call up and say, well, we really don't know when we're going to be able to deliver them. So then they cancel the order. They went to the other established player that's more established, I would say, in the industry, and they've got 4 months to wait. But they'll probably deliver in that four-month period. They were just more expensive. So this airplane is going to have been down for a year and a half. A year and a half of no revenue, paying fixed costs, right? Loss of revenue. So this is, you know, it's amazing how when people complain about how much it is to rent an airplane or do whatever, look at all the stuff that's involved in it, right? So if you want a door for like a Duchess, you want to go, you got to go to the junkyard. They don't make doors for Duchesses anymore. You call up Raytheon, they go, we gave up on that a long time ago. You know, so now we try to cobble business together with two or three Duchesses online and just hope that the doors stay on the thing because they fly open during a steep turn if you haven't noticed. Not all of them, but plenty of them will. So, and then they tweak them a little bit, the maintenance department, okay, it should be better now, and then, you know, until it isn't. But that's how those things are, right? So I just wonder, what other industry works like this? We've got an industry that's really hard to define and very difficult for people on the outside to understand, especially if you're just coming into it and you have the expectation of you're going to buy an airplane and everything is just going to go smooth, right? Just finding someone to work on your airplane is going to be a nightmare, right? Let alone things going smooth. So that's kind of how it is, but that's what we've got, okay? So let's move on down to the last couple things. Our mastery class, which is a class we offer every couple months, it's a weekend class. And it's how to use technology in the classroom, along with how to use a syllabus and how to track students' progress. That's kind of what it is, and using PowerPoint. So the idea of it is to how to use ForeFlight and Zoom together and be really masters of that, be able to teach using only ForeFlight projected onto either Zoom or onto a smart TV somewhere. So all you need ever is your iPad, and it may be an Apple Pencil. And how to use PowerPoint the right way. Most people get this wrong. And most people, when they use PowerPoint, it's a complete waste of time to show the slides. So we show you a way by which you can actually deliver a lesson and the student gets it and isn't all caught up in reading your slides. Now, we teach you to do this both for in-person instruction, so you can broadcast onto a smart TV, or if they have a MacBook, onto their Mac, or how to do this remotely using Zoom so you can sit on your couch and make money. Right? You can do remote ground and not have to drive anywhere. So I'm renaming that class Teaching with Tech. That's what it's going to be called. I should say I'm thinking about renaming that, but when you see it, if you see Teaching with Tech, you'll know looking at it what it is, as opposed to wondering what's this mastery thing. So you can find information about this by going to our website, cfibootcamp.com. If you go to the calendars link on the top, there's a link that says calendars, you can find when the next one or the one after that's going to be. And you can attend these either in person or you can attend these remotely. And we have several people online with us to help out with the technology. So if you get stuck on something, we'll get you unstuck. By the way, I want to give you a super pro tip. Super duper pro tip, okay? So for those of you who aren't using Apple products for one reason or another, you're missing the boat because aviation runs on iPads, if you haven't noticed, and iPhones. It's okay to have a Surface, okay to have all those other tasks, Samsung, all that other stuff, but if you want to use it in the airplane and you want the best possible experience, you're going to want an iPad, all right? And if you want to teach, you're really going to want an iPad. Because you can use AirPlay and you could use many other things. Smart TV connection is quite easy. And you probably want an Apple Pencil. Now, let me tell you how to try this out. Because some of you are going like, I don't know about this. What if I don't like it? Right? I spent all this money on this stuff, you know? So there's a website called backmarket.com, BACKMARKET.com. And they sell used Macs that are refurbished, and iPads and iPhones and Apple Pencils that have all been refurbished that come with a warranty. And you can pick your flavor. So if you just want to try it out, like one of our students did, he wants a MacBook Pro, or it was a MacBook Air, sorry, and he got it for $160, right? It's an older one. It's 5 years old. It runs. It's got everything going. Then he can decide if he wants to spend the extra and buy a new one or whatever, but you have a chance to try it out. So if you want to run ForeFlight, you don't have an iPad, you can probably go to backmarket.com and get one that'll be compatible with ForeFlight that you can try and make sure you like it. Okay, so if you're thinking about doing tech in the classroom with us, something like that, teaching with tech, and you don't have an iPad, that's a place you can get one and not spend a fortune. Now, by the way, your buy-in to Mac products, I feel like I'm selling Apple products right now, but people say they're really expensive. Like, for example, I'm talking and using my MacBook Pro, which is $2,100. And you go like, oh my God, you know, that's like unbelievable. But it's not chintzy. And when I call for support, I call one place. I don't have to talk about drivers. I don't need to talk with this other company. The other thing is, this is the better thing. You say, well, here's what I'll do. Every 2 years or 3 years, I will sell this MacBook and my phone and my iPad. And I will sell it for either half or over half of what I paid for it. So my next buy-in is not $2,100. It's going to be about $1,000. And for something that's this reliable and this robust and has this much support, I'm happy to pay that, right? That makes the price a lot better. So every 2 years I recycle. So my iPhone is, $800, $900? Let's call it $900. I'll sell it for $450. So my next iPhone will cost me $450. So that's the way we do it. Okay, here are the pro tips. So here's the first pro tip. If you're a CFI and you want to teach from your iPad, you really need 4Flight's Performance Plus subscription. This has things in it that the other subscriptions don't have. For example, it has 3D view, 3D routes, so your student can send you via text or email or AirDrop their flight plan, and you can fly that flight plan. You can see it. You can see the clouds in profile view. You can see the bases and the tops of the clouds. You can see the terrain. You can see the airspace. You can see icing. You can see turbulence, all from the profile view. And the other subscriptions have some of that, but not all that. You can teach weather theory because it has a dynamic surface analysis chart. You can see the areas of high, low pressure, cold fronts, warm fronts. Talk about that. You can zoom up then and show how the temperature on one side of the front and pressure is different than the other side. Then you can animate the world's winds at any altitude you want. And they'll be all animated so you can see how they flow. So this is very interesting for students, right? And this comes at the highest level subscription, which is, drum roll please, around $300 and some. Now, if you join SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, at safepilots.org, you will get 1/3 off your 4Flight subscription, and that costs you $55 to do that. So that'll take the price down, plus you get connected to industry via SAFE, which is a really good organization. Also, while we're on the topic there, I wanted to tell you that we do have a newsletter, and we have all sorts of free stuff on our website, but you go to our website, go to the very bottom of the page, and you'll find an opt-in for our newsletter, which is this podcast, but in newsletter format, along with other things, links and things like that in it. Also, if you've been listening to our Power Hours or you want to listen to them and you say, well, where are the other ones, the all 219 of them that you've done before, how can I access those? Well, you can only access those if you're a member on our membership site. Now, our live shows are always free, so you can show up anytime, any Saturday, and those are always free. But to hear the rest of them, you got to be a member. So there, if you go to our website, cfibootcamp.com, you go to the top, Resources, and then Bootcamp Plus. And then you can opt in for the free version, which is called Basic. See if you like it. You know, there's probably a handful of, maybe not 12 or so of the Power Hours, along with some other things. And if you do, then you can upgrade for the other membership, the Pro membership. I forgot the other name of it, but the next membership up. And you can get access to them all. You know, that's a lot of time. That's 200 hours. That's, over five weeks of content there. If you watch 8 hours a day, and we've covered everything from the mathematics, from eights on pylons and wide pivots to marketing videos to deep dives into certain maneuvers like chandelles, lazy eights. We've done how to create lesson plans. We've done how to teach from the syllabus. We've covered all that very pilot-centric stuff. We had 4Flight on. We've had AOPA on, Legal Protective Services. We have Gary Reeves on. SAFE has been on. So there's a lot of people been on with us. We had a panel a couple times. So, yeah, it's all good stuff. So do that. Number two pro tip is let's do three-hour blocks, please. Let's not do two-hour blocks. And what I'm talking about there is when we're going to do a flight and pre-flight briefings, it's part of the flight, we need three-hour blocks, not two. 2 hours too short. So what will happen if you have a two-hour block is you're going to get behind the whole day because you're going to be late after every flight. So make three-hour blocks. It'll really save you the trouble, the aggravation of being late. No one likes that. The first hour is going to be spent getting the airplane, dispatch, maybe pre-flight. Maybe the student's already done that. Then it's going to be give the briefings. Then you got to walk to the airplane. All these little things, you know, walk to the airplane. You got to start the airplane. And by the time you get to the run-up, and you got to come back, you know, well, not right then, but you got maybe a 40-minute flight. That's about it. Then you got to get back because you got to tie down the airplane. You got to walk in, check in the airplane, and you got a post-flight briefing. How are you going to do that in 2 hours? So try not to do two-hour blocks if you can help it. Okay, the third tip of the day, I want you to start playing with ChatGPT AI. Don't be afraid of it. It's not going to kill you. It's going to help you. So I'm going to give you some ideas here. So just download ChatGPT on your computer or on your phone or on your iPad or whatever device you're using. And what it wants from you is a prompt. So a prompt is sort of like what you almost like a Google search, right? Type in what you want, but you can be more specific. So you could say something like, this is something you can't do with Google. You can't say, hey, Google, draw a sketch of an airfoil, or you can show me where the low pressure is on top of the wing and the high is on the bottom of the wing. If you put that into Google, it won't know what you mean. It'll show you its best finds, but it's not going to do that. ChatGPT will do that for you and create that sketch. The other thing that Google won't do that ChatGPT will do for you is create quizzes. I just asked it the other day. I said, create a pre-solo knowledge test required by 61.87 Bravo for the Palo Alto Airport in Palo Alto, California. So I did that, and then I think I might have put some other prompt in there, but that's about it. And then I hit the submit button, and it knows what regulations it needs to cover, so it gave me airspace questions. It gave me some questions about Palo Alto Airport. It gave me questions about Part 61, 91, and then I refined it. So once you have that, you can go on to say, refine this by, and put whatever else you want, like make this specific to a 172S model. Or make this specific to the Palo Alto Airport procedures only. Something like this you can do. So you can play with this and you can really get a lot of good stuff. So we use it in our initial CFI class. For example, one of the things we used to have people do manually is to say, why does VX and VY converge at the absolute service ceiling? Why does VY go down as altitude increases? Why does that happen? And what happens to VX? And what's happening? And so if you type that into ChatGPT, it'll give you an answer. And you go on to say, create a diagram or a graph that explains this or a series of graphs that explain this. And I think what you'll find is it very valuable for studying. And I think you'll find it very valuable as a CFI for creating quizzes. You could, for example, take the POH, the systems chapter, and just upload that chapter in the ChatGPT, just upload as a PDF, and say, create a quiz. A 10-question quiz on each one of those, and it will do that for you. So then, of course, you have to vet it, but, I mean, that's a nice start. Or if you're going to teach a class, you haven't taught a class maybe on weather theory for a while, you can say, create an outline for a private pilot around weather theory, the key points, something like that, and it will create that for you. And you can say cite references, something like that. It will tell you this comes from the Aviation Weather Handbook, wherever it got the information from. So hopefully that's useful to you. And that's all I got for you this week, so I want to thank you for listening and being a good subscriber like you all are. We've done this for a long time. Do join our Power Hours. I think you'll have fun. We're really expanding that a lot. We've got a lot of people in there now. Okay, and that's all for this month's episode, the January 2025 edition of Flight Training the Way I See It. This has been a production of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, tips, and opinion.